Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love, and I'm here today with Homini P. Leeser of Unified New Earth Sanctuaries, and also with Angel Star Ascension Collective. And she's a good friend of mine, and I'm grateful to have her here with us today. We're here to talk about self-sustainable living and relationships and just anything to do with society and the way we communicate with each other and how that works within self-sustainable living. Hi, Khomeini. Thank you for coming on our show today.
Hi, David. Good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Looking forward to this. It's been a long time.
Yes.
So why don't you go ahead and tell us about your experience and, you know, your journey and what led you to to work in self-sustainable living and where you're at and with Unified New Earth Sanctuaries.
Okay. It's a lot to go over in such a short period of time, so I'll just do a short intro. Basically, I founded the ministry Unified New Earth Sanctuaries. It's a global ministry for self-sustainability, meaning that we are here as earth keepers and, you know, the preservers of sacred lands. In doing that, we must become self-sustainable, meaning that we are sustainable, on our own as a community without requiring the services of the utility districts or the governments or jobs. We create our own way of living. And basically, as a spiritual minister and as an advocate, as well as an activist for sustainability, I must be the embodiment of that. So, in essence, right now we're talking about being sustainable. Well, what does that even mean?
Exactly.
So a lot of people look at me in the face and say, you know, show me the money, you know, show me what you're talking about. Because we don't know, we don't understand, and we have nothing to really use as a model for sustainability. We're stuck.
That's right.
We're stuck paying bills. We're stuck not being able to have access to clean, pure water. I'm right here in Mount Shasta. It's so beautiful. We have natural springs. We have the headwaters here where we go get our water. We get our water straight from the spring. No, we don't even drink tap water. Even though the tap water here is the best water in almost, I know in California and in almost probably the world, you know?
Wow.
Also, the forest. Yeah, it's
really
beautiful water.
I remember what it was like when I had yellow, almost brown water coming out of my tap when I was growing up as a child. I can't even, you know, it's amazing to even think about what pure water is like coming from the environment, you know, rather than coming from a plastic bottle in a convenience store.
Yes, that is such a big thing. You know, plastic bottles, we have we've gone to using glass jars, collecting our water in BPA-free, big 7-gallon jugs, and utilizing that for our drinking water. And that's something a lot of people should consider, you know. Reverse osmosis is a great filtration system for water, but, you know, with seeing how the world is going today and our water is being contaminated and, you know, chemicals and whatever, you know, all that good stuff, all the good stuff. And then we put it in a plastic bottle and all the chemicals leak out of that into our water. So yeah, water is very, very important for sustainability. Without water, you cannot be sustainable. That's just point blank, you know.
Yeah.
We're only made up of 75% water, you know. And if the majority of humanity doesn't even drink enough water or have access to clean water already, our life force is depleting.
Absolutely.
So that's just one aspect of sustainability. If we were to look at the aspects of sustainability, we have to look at the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual aspects.
Mind, body, spirit, of course, always. And I guess that's, you know, we'll see how much we can get in about that, because that does kind of cover up everything that, you know, that embodies self-sustainable living on all levels, I think. So tell us about, you know, just where you're at right now at Mount Shasta and what's going on with you, and kind of a general overview, I guess, about yourself and about
okay.
your project.
Well, I feel that in order to make this story relatable is to kind of go back to the beginning, which is that, yes, I grew up in Seattle, Washington. I actually was born in Laos, which is in Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. Came over to America, was in Seattle, and lived in Seattle for about 20 years. Then went to Marin County, and, you know, then went to Miami, and then came to Mount Shasta. But the point is I've always been in a big city. So to go from, like, a population of, let's even say, 1 million or 2 million people to, like, 1,200, you really have to drastically change your priorities and your mentality and what it can encompass.
Because if you're looking
to go out and party, I mean, huh?
I hear you. That's a big change.
It's a welcome change. Yeah. However, I've been prepared to make these changes for a very long time. But with any type of sacred area, you really have to clear your energies, or else those energies will be cleared for you. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure if you're telling me it's sort of like with all the problems in the world, the change will sort of be forced upon you if you don't decide to make the choice to change with it, maybe?
Well, that plus the vibrational changes, the vibrational frequency of your energy field will attract the same of its own. So once you change the mentality about how you desire to live your life, you already changed your vibration based on that thought. Okay. So then everything around you will all correspond to that, you know, mentality or different new vibrations. And then you start changing everything around you to match that vibration. That could mean a transition in jobs. It could mean, you know, transitioning from one location to another. It could mean a lot of things, but yeah, change is imminent, you know, so change is good. It means that you're progressing. It means that you're involved, you know, change is good. However,
I mean, I said you can't evolve without the change, and that's, you know, just the process that we go through in life and in our journeys. So it's really important that we sort of embrace that. And that, I guess that's that go with the flow saying that I've learned to accept. So, and that's what's happening in the world. It's that paradigm shift, I think. And that's the big, I think that's what you're sort of leading in a way with self-sustainable living. Is that change, that paradigm shift?
Yes. Just to make, you know, long story short, I had visions in around 2010 about the changing climatic, the changing climate, about where Gaia's going to be at, where she's going to go, mm-hmm. and what humanity is to do in order to change and grow with her. Otherwise, obviously, you know, you go in the opposite direction. So I acted upon these visions and these this guidance to come to this mountain. I've been on this mountain for many, many, many lifetimes. And so I feel a closeness and a connectivity to it than, you know, most the average tourist or Joe, you know, who doesn't have that, let's say, resonance, you know, that remembrance. Mm. So, yeah, my footsteps led me here in such a manner, and the doors have just been, like, totally wide open since I've gotten here. But that didn't mean that the road leading to here wasn't rough.
Life's testing challenges once again.
So what I mean by saying, but the thing about it is that this is a sacred area, mm-hmm. you know, with sacred energy, and you must be in a reverence state. In a reverent state of being in order to really access what it is, the elements and the guardians. And the many kingdoms that reside here are communicating with you. You know, they want to work with you as long as you do right by the land, and you do right by God, you know, you do right by the fellow man. So as long as you do right, you know, everything will come together and work, because right now, if humanity doesn't, I hate to say it, but get it together, they're going to see their buildings crumble around them. They're going to see their houses become, you know, destroyed by these climate changes. They're not going to know how to get fresh water. Yeah. They're not going to know how to do anything, because not only are they uneducated, but, you know, in their density states, they have no... I'm just going to get off this thread, because I don't want to say anything about in a general way that could affect people, you know, adversely.
we're not trying to promote beer. We're just, you're just trying
If I'm going
to
continue. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Let me go back to my story. I had the same vision that you had. I actually had it back in the mid 90s about the mountain and the climactic change. And, so I know I kind of share your vision and I know what you're talking about. And I've seen sort of the same thing in my mind and on the inner plane. And, I guess that must be why we're connecting. But this came to me so long ago. And I also saw other things and even the other people that we're working with in our expanded circles, the relationships that we have and the projects that we're working on, together. And I agree with you. Everything that you've just said. And, I don't know what else, what more to say about that part of it, really.
Well, that's the thing, David, is that the reason why we are, let's say, attracted to the energetic movement of the new earth and the new consciousness that is rising within all of us, really, the reality of it is that we all had these visions. We all know what's going to happen, and our feet are just moving towards that progressive state. You know what I mean? We can't put our finger on it or put our eye or even prove it for that matter, but we know it deep inside of ourselves. And that's why we have come here to put our best foot forward and just to keep marching on, you know? They marched a lot back in the, you know, the peace rallies, Martin Luther King's, you know, now we have Occupy, we have revolutions coming up and, you know, we marched for a really long time. But just because we talk about what we want to do doesn't mean we're doing what it is that we talk, what that we desire, you know? So, if you will excuse me, I'm trying to get my dogs. So, anyways, okay, so I came to Mount Shasta, I don't know, earlier this year, right after the new year, and this place was just like so welcoming. I ended up, living in a off-the-grid subdivision. It is still a subdivision. It's not in the, you know, it's still in the grid somewhat, but there's no access to electricity, toilets, sewage, these things. You would have to incorporate and build yourself. So it's not hooked up to any type of city line for water or for sewer, you know? You can only build homes that are like 10 by 20 unless you have a permit for it. So a lot of people opt to live in their RVs or have a tent or have some other type of structure like a canvas tent or even a teepee for that matter. So, you know, we get to explore with different type of, structures for outside housing as well as looking at, okay, well, you know what? We've got tons of trees around us. We got mud. We have straw. You know, we can build a house made out of straw. We can build out of these elements around us. We don't have to go and pay $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000.
Right. I know. We need to be really elaborate from living in society. We think that we need to spend tons of money to do this and that.
Yeah.
We're looking for simplicity, really.
Yes. And it all comes down to being able to have access to land, meaning to property, meaning to have a place that is good soil, water, so you can do your own organic farming, creating organic seeds, you know, creating organic seeds with the highest vibration possible.
Right.
You know, as sacred seeds to, you know, I just want to touch on food being one of the most important things that humanity must access their connectivity to. Because they're ingesting and they're imbibing on substances that are totally foreign to their system. Totally foreign. And eventually this, the foreign matter turns into, you know, a feeding ground for parasites like candida. And so when we have like an intense, you know, addiction to sugar in our drinks, and if you look at any type of ingredient, I mean, for any type of food except for vegetables, there's sugar in it.
I've written on this.
So it's just like, it's ridiculous. It's crazy, right? Growing our own food is really super important for sustainability. And I understand people in cities and urban areas have a very tough time, because I remember that there were some lots in some neighborhood in Miami. And I said, well, why aren't they, you know, turning these lots into community gardens? They said, we can't put a garden there. They'll arrest us. And they just were very scared to do anything. They said that if you grow like a backyard garden or something, like you can only have so much, you know, of plants and blah, 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 blah. And the reality of it is they don't want us to grow our own food. You know, they, right. It would put them out of business.
Competition has always been an issue, I guess.
So, yeah, you know, I want to talk about sustainability in a lot of different ways, but the first thing that we talk about is being connected to nature, being connected to God, and being connected to Gaia. You know, Gaia is our mother, and, you know, our father is the sun that warms our body and our blood and grows our food, you know, and we are in the womb of Gaia now, and she cares for us, and she nurtures us, and she feeds us, and she gives us the elements to create shelter, and she gives us water for life. She gives us air for breathing. She gives us everything.
Gaia is a living organism.
And we are
Gaia. With its own global consciousness, planetary consciousness, and we are part of that.
So when we refuse to eat the food, or we defile the food that Gaia has given to us, we contaminate not only our bodies, but her body as well with this waste. You know, I want to touch on sacred fluids as being a sustainable part of living as well. You know, when we menstruate or we urinate or we defecate, you know, we put it into a toilet and that toilet, you know, goes into a sewage system and this and that. When one person can create enough fertilizer to farm a whole acre of his own food the following year, if he composted his, you know, his waste. And that's just one human. So now, right now, we're actually putting our waste into our watering system. And I don't think people realize just how dangerous that is.
Do you think, you know, is this issue mostly about overpopulation, do you think, or is
there's
it
no such thing as overpopulation? Because it's just an idea that people have, and the reason why the idea was pushed upon us is so that they can continue murdering us, placing us in, you know, violent situations like wars, you know, road rage. A lot of dangerous situations, you know, to create sick care, to create business for the funeral homes. I mean, death is as big of a business as life, believe me.
Certainly is.
A lot of people who have a grieving parent, or not a grieving, are grieving for their parent, all the way up to when you start feeling the effects of the toxic, you know, the toxicity you've been, you know, ingesting all your life. Practically from birth sometimes with vaccinations starting from there, the consumptions of sugars and then pharmaceuticals and on and on and on. So right around, you start deteriorating around 35, maybe slowly to about 45, and then around 55, you actually get cancer. So we have to look at preventative care through herbology, through organic farming, through cutting out meat from our diet. Unfortunately, I like meat too, but I have to understand and realize that it's not good and or healthy for my body. You know, I've been dealing with dairy consumption, like raw milk, even good, you know, things like that. It just wasn't, it's not, our bodies aren't meant to process it, because the reality of it is that we're going to from a carbon-based system to a light-based system, a crystalline body, which means that you have to embody as many light particles as possible, which means that you have to be, you know, taking in light. And what has light on this planet is fruits and vegetables.
True.
You know, a potato chip doesn't have light.
No, it's very dense, isn't it?
You know, so eating live foods, like sprouting your own sprouts, is really important, because you're taking in light. You're not taking in dead food. Like, I stopped eating stews because I was eating stew and I was like, oh, this is really good. But it's dead. So I'm putting dead things in.
They do lose their life force after a certain amount of hours, I believe, you know, plants, and it actually does become dead, doesn't it?
Yeah. And so when we take an animal in and we don't bless the animal and say thank you for being alive, thank you for sharing your body with me so that I could be, you know, fulfilled and nurtured. And that brings a little bit of transmutation into your food. And I was transmuting my food because I was traveling, and then you get hotel food and restaurant food. You know that's not organic.
No, it's almost plastic, I think.
And you're pretty sure the chef wasn't happy. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's very stressful in the kitchen. I used to work in a restaurant, and they're not putting those good vibrations into your food so much all the time, you know? So you've got to do it yourself and be self-responsible for the type of vibrations you're bringing into your body. And that's part of self-sustainability, is sustaining your own self through, you know, proper ingestion of, you know, foods and drinks and things like that, superfoods. Another part of self-sustainability is being sustainable within your own self emotionally, meaning that we don't look outside of ourselves in order to feel validated or worthy or loved. Or, you know, the whole twin flame thing is really like, oh my gosh, my other half, gotta find you, da da da. Well, a quick experience is that one day while in meditation, I was in connection with Archangel Michael, and he informed me that the merger was to happen. The twin merger, you know, was to happen within me. So that I was supposed to bring in the merger into my being, into this vessel, into this body, so that I would be fully within myself without feeling ever that I had was like lost from something or half of something or anything. And to find your flame, you must be whole within yourself in order to do the work.
And that's a good point, Komini. I like that, because I do believe the same thing. I do believe that we are whole people, and I believe the idea of the twin flame is a bit of a misconception that we're missing some half of another half of ourselves, of our soul, and we're not, because we have everything within us, contained within us. So that half is within us, and it's not quite... I like, you know, the way you're sort of defining it, and that's really important, that we know that we're okay, and that we have everything we need.
Exactly. Which is being sustainable emotionally. You know? And it's very tough to find a relationship where two people feel that they need something outside of themselves to feel whole or complete. Because then they put themselves into a fear or a, you know, a fear of scarcity or a fear of lack, you know, mode. So that puts them into a scarcity mentality, meaning that if I don't have this person, I will not be able to go on and live my life, you know? And it creates a lot of unnecessary suffering. But if that's part of the lesson too, then that's great, you know? We all need our lessons. However, for sustainability, true sustainability, you must be whole and complete within yourself and acknowledge that you are male and female in one body, where you are the particle of mother and father, creator, you know, prime source, Father, Son, Mother Gaia, they've merged in order to give us life.
That's,
you know,
true, because consciousness does not have gender, and it does, the self does not have gender. It chooses to within life, but we are all the same. We come from the same source, and we are all the same vital essence, which is consciousness. So that's another great point. I guess we all actually have the same knowledge, the same ideas about all of this.
That's good. No, I always talk about ascension as an activation, is talking about things that allow us to activate our cellular memory. So that we remember, oh, I remember this concept. Oh, I remember this way. Oh, I remember that. And that's the point. The point is not to teach anyone anything. The point is just to remind people of what they remember. Hey, this is what I remember. I remember love. I remember when we didn't have to pay rent or have to pay a mortgage or have to pay someone else to build our home. I remember when we could walk into our backyard and pick our own food. I remember that. I remember milking my own cow. I remember when she died. You know? So let's just remember what our ancestors and our elders are here every single day to teach us. And they watch us. They watch us because we are their children. We are their... You know, they created us, you know, our ancestors, our elders, you know, they were here. And so since I got here, it's been incredibly amazing. I've been in touch with the Native American church and with a lot of the Native tribes out here and the people. And it's just amazing. You know, I went to the reservation down there in New Mexico. New Mexico is just like, wow, so incredibly powerful, those energies, you know. And I was visited by a woman named Whispering Willow. And she told me of the time that we spent together walking that region and saying, your purpose now is just to make sure that you bring as many people home with you as possible.
Right, and I do agree that's what you're doing. I guess maybe that's what I'm trying to do as well, speaking with you.
Well, I'm glad.
Home.
You know, and then the thing that is that Unified New Earth Sanctuaries was created because there was a lot of New Earth, organizations coming up, like with Sasha Stone, and everybody's being vocal about their purpose and, you know, their mission, and it wasn't united. So I just wanted to create a way to unify this new way of living, which is bringing in this Christ consciousness and anchoring in the golden era. And it becoming the new earth, but you must be the new earth within yourself too. You know, the heaven in the heart is where it starts. Ooh, that's a great tagline. The heaven in the heart is where it starts. So, the heaven in the heart is where it starts. You know, living is doing, and the beauty of it is that now that I'm here, living what I've been talking about, I feel so immensely grateful for this opportunity to share with my family, my soul family, my star family, my online family, my physical family. You know, I really consider everybody like as brother and sister, because everybody has that spark inside of them, that God spark, you know, that flame. And that sanctuary that we talk about is really the home of the heart, the heaven inside the heart. And so when we saw Unified New Earth Sanctuaries, it's a unification of the heavenly heart on the new earth. So, yeah, it's a different way to approach spiritual awareness, that's for sure. You know, our tagline is awake, activate, ascend. So we're not asking everyone to wake up and to realize what's going on in the outside world and to be upset at that, you know, those realities. But at the same time, we're eradicating duality. So that means we eradicate duality in ourselves. Huh?
Of course, the illusion of duality, which is something I speak on quite a bit.
Good. Now I'm just here validating everything you've been talking about.
No, you are. I understand every single word that you're saying, and I also like the fact that you're explaining it very clearly, which is, you know, we have, I speak to a lot of people who speak in terms that I don't know that a lot of our listeners would understand, or that, you know, you're speaking, when you talk about these things, you're speaking in an understandable way, and I thank you for that, that you can get your message across in a way that I think anyone should really be able to understand what you're saying.
Well, that's an amazing compliment, and I really appreciate that, because as a writer, you know, one of my focuses, our focuses, is to convey our message with, you know, using as little words as possible, and that's the reason behind that. The main reason is something called light language. The less words we use, the more skillful we become at manifestation, because thoughts become our reality. So whatever we think and we put into word form, it starts manifesting within the universe. And then if you have a contradictory thought, it cancels each other out, or whatever. Which way it goes, you know, this is like the law of polarity, what goes up must come down, all that good stuff, you know. So if I sit here and go on and on and on and on and on about things that people don't understand, they're going to have a thought about it. And then that thought becomes a manifestation. You know, yeah, so all of our,
And it may not manifest the way we intended it to either, just because of the confusion. So,
right. So a lot of, I just want to state that a lot of the spirit workers, beacons, you know, golden pillars, light bearers, showers, whatever you want to call, people who are walking the path of enlightenment, is that we are going to be born into systems and into families that are completely dysfunctional, that carry the lowest vibration, because we're strong enough to handle it. And that's just the point. You know, we say, oh my God, everybody hurts me. I'm too loving, I'm too giving, I'm too nice. You know, everyone cries about just how this and that, they get trampled on and manipulated. And I'm like, that's the point. That is...
Lana would love to have been here to do this interview with you. I can't wait to replay this for her, and I know she's going to want to do another show with you about this, all of this. She'd be in her glory with this.
Yeah, unifying the goddess, feminine, divine essence is also a priority and goal for the collective and for the ministry. Is to unite the goddesses, the mothers. the mothers are the creators of comfort and nurturance, and we need to nurture the men on this planet because there's a lot of sickness and illness that are going on in the programming, you know, that are just kind of like embedded in the male psyche, in the patriarch society. It's just very tough to navigate your spiritual aspects, let's just say that, through those, you know,
dark... Because I just had a thought. Now, you mentioned being an activist. I think I heard you mention guardian. I think that was more in reference to Mount Shasta, but because that's a word that I use. What is it that, you know, sometimes I use different labels, which only has limited use when we talk about light healers, light workers, light warriors, spiritual warriors, guardians. What an activist? What is it that we are supposed to do with the global issues? Are we supposed to abandon society and walk away from all of this, or are we to continue to try to save? The other day I heard there's about 1,000 lions left in the wild, and, you know, Alexander Midas of Galactic Connection is trying to save the rhinos in Africa right now, and my sense is with climactic change and everything that's going on and all of these things, is that useful to us at this point to try to save what's left, or are we to just sort of walk away from this?
Okay. Well, there's no walking away from anything, you know, because it's always in our face in some way, shape, or form. We're on a third dimensional, you know, density right now, so everything is going to be, it's going to seem real, but remember, we're in a matrix of illusion.
Sure.
Okay. So in this matrix of illusion, we came as creators. We came to create within this illusion. But unfortunately, what happened through the suppression of free will is that the matrix was, let's say, seized and changed to only benefit the few. And so, because of this enslavement program, a lot of star seeds from many different planetary systems, like the Pleiades or Sirius, are here, as well as ascended masters, who their aspects are, basically their aspects are in embodiment right now, and they are called avatars. And also, we have the Galactic Federations, the Family of Light, and Prime Source, and the Elementals. So there's a lot of help here that we can't see in the physical. But in order to answer your question properly, is I'm going to restate the question too, is I see a lot of things happening around me in the world that I don't know what to do about. Do I become an activist, or what can I do? But if I feel helpless and can't do anything, I do nothing. Either way, I am helpless. This is what humanity is saying. This is what their consciousness is at right now. They feel helpless.
Right.
So because...
Very true. I see that as well.
So because of their helpless state, they are, let's say, muting or dimming their connection to their prime God source, their higher consciousness. Because if they were directly connected, they wouldn't have those doubts or those questions or that feeling. Understood? So because of that disconnection to truth, you come into a world of lies. So if you are in this world of lies, where let's say a movie program is playing, and in this movie somebody is murdered, and you saw the person murdered, and you say, oh my gosh, should I do something? Or should I just do nothing because I'm so scared for my own life? You know, it's always that point. Now, if you had something like no belief in fear, then it's quite possible that you could have, you know, changed or altered that scene. You know, but if you feel helpless, then there's no way you can alter that scene, because you would be too scared to do anything at all. And that's exactly what's going on, is that this movie scene, you know, called, you know, Earth right now, and all of its illusions and its dramas and its this and its consumerism and its this and its materialism and its this and its this, you know, constant treadmill, you know? You step off that treadmill or you fall off. That's the choice. Do I get out of the matrix of illusion and create my own reality, or do I continue into that illusion and add to it my input, my creation? As creators, we have to ask ourselves, where am I willing to place my energy in? Am I willing to place my energy fighting wars? Or am I willing to place my energy in finding peace within myself so that I can bring others into a state of peace with me? Or I can go to battle and bring other people into a state of battle with me. It's just a choice.
Right. And it's interesting that you say that, because literally my collective is the sacred masculine source, or whatever name you want to give it. It's actually the former god of war is what I would call it. I would call it Aries, the Aries collective. And I now would call it more of the quote-unquote god of compassion and understanding, because this collective wants peace, and it wants to bring the other aspects, the lower thinking aspects of that collective forward into that new way of thinking of compassion and understanding, and evolve to that higher level of consciousness. That's what I feel, what I'm seeing with my higher power. So war, and I know you know this, war for the last 4,000 years has not solved anything. And although I do believe in, and I believe many of my past lives have led many wars, I still believe in self-defense, and I will still stand up for injustice and unfairness and oppression.
Injustice.
But that is not what we want at this time.
Well, the first thing, I touched on emotional sustainability, and I touched on, you know, physical kind of environmental sustainability. Just, it's such a broad subject, you know. Hopefully I can get more information up on certain aspects onto the site, and people can just go there and, you know, gain the information that most interests them and what they can incorporate in their area, because it's not the same. Like Mount Shasta certainly is in LA, you know. Certainly, like, you know, everyone has to adapt to their region and create sustainability from in their region if they're going to, you know, the best of their ability. So the mental sustainability is knowing your thoughts and working with energetic energy as far as thought forms go, because our reality is basically written for us sometimes. You know, you go to the mall, you go to the store, advertising for this, Kim Kardashian that, look at the lives of the celebrity, your life is boring, this person's life is better, you don't look good enough, go get plastic surgery. You know, we're bombarded with all of these things that make us question who we are. You know, and make us question, am I pretty enough? Does this person love me? What is unconditional love? What is forgiveness? Oh, I'll forgive him, but I can't forget. You know, I use that mindset, you know. But the reality is that we only have now the present moment as a gift. So our presence is a gift here. And we must continue to be a blessing and not a burden on our planet and on ourselves. The first thing we've got to do for mental stability or sustainability is to just really conquer our wayward thoughts and to separate outer thought forms from inner thought forms.
And that, I know we do that. We can do that under meditation and through soft hypnosis, and we can observe our thoughts and feelings by going within and doing that inner self-exploration and looking at those things carefully and developing our true beliefs and values and our true self, authentic self, and developing our integrity and knowing what we stand for. And that is how I connect with my higher power, through that process. And it was a long process, and it was an arduous process, and well worth it.
It is well worth it when you find the ability to be silent, be still, and listen. And to really focus on no thoughts. So there's this exercise where if you have like a lot of thoughts, because I used to have like mad insomnia, you know, I'd be up writing all the time, just a lot of, you know, things coming through. But what it is that, yeah, you're going to get thoughts, but because you haven't realized that you are not your thoughts. You keep thinking that you are these thoughts. I can implant a thought in your mind through telepathy, through an energetic exchange. I can influence you in that way. And if you're not strong psychically and you don't have your, you don't have your filter up or whatever, your discernment up, I could totally get you to do things.
And then there are entities in the universe that unfortunately do that on this planet, and that's one of our issues, I think, is that we're being influenced that way by those parasites.
Right. So if I'm working in the light, you know, there's always that polarity. If I'm working in the light, somebody's working in the dark, you know, until we can get that light quotient flipped up, you know, flipped to a state where there's more light than darkness on this planet, then we can really succeed, you know, at ascending all those lower aspects of ourselves. That's what ascension is too, you know, going through this process of regeneration and restoration and transformation has brought me to a higher state of consciousness, especially when I decided to give my sacred fluids to the planet and not to a sewage system, you know, do it in a healthy way. And do it in a blessing way, and thanking Gaia, thanking her. So thank you for taking this for me, you know. Thank you for creating me, and just even using the moments when you go, when you go into the bathroom or whatever, just continuing that blessing. And menstrual blood is something that a lot of women are programmed to feel ashamed about, you know, and to use devices that are unhealthy for their bodies.
Right.
And I just want, this is just for the female audience, but the male audience can benefit from this as well. Is that?
Please do.
Your menstrual blood is sacred. That sacred fluid has, you know, created many healings over time here on planet Earth. The woman is to be cherished. You know, as we are in the womb of Gaia, we must cherish the wombs of the mothers that carry the life of Gaia within her. And our blood is to, you know, show us who we are. It is embedded with our sacred energy, our vibrations, with our memory. And the memory that is embedded in that blood would have normally gone back to Gaia, meaning that it wouldn't have gone into a cotton pad. You know what I mean?
Right.
It wouldn't, you know, it would go back to Gaia. It would go back into the earth. So, diluting that blood, saving your blood in something called a diva cup, which is, you know, an organic device that you can use for like 5 years by buying it one time, and you stop the, you know, overuse of tampon contamination, I guess you could call it. But yeah, just cutting out that is really good to sustainable as a woman, you know. And anyways, so diluting that with water and feeding them to your plants or to your farm, to your garden, and then you're taking that life force within you too, it's very, 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 very healing. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. You know? So when women or when young girls at around 12 or 13, they start getting their blood, you know, they're like, oh no, I'm so embarrassed, I was wearing white pants or this or that or this, you know, and just not having the right foundation to understand that they are reaching a time of the most sacred purity, the sacred innocence of a young girl's blood, you know? It could really heal the earth, the planet, everything.
Very
if we just took in that sacred energy.
It's a very spiritual way of looking at it, sure.
Yeah. I mean, this is just a private thing that people, you know, can research and do on their own. But I heard in the Native American tradition, when the warriors came home and they were injured, they would use women's menstrual blood to heal them. And it worked very, very well. You know, so even now they're playing with the placenta and the embryo. You know what I mean? They're playing with, you know, these things because they know that the woman's blood is very healing, very sacred, and it creates life. So just remember that, ladies, you know. I love you so, so much, goddesses. Just remember who you are, and remember that we're all here together, united.
Yes, you know, we are. We are about to wrap this up, I think, just because I'm not exactly sure how this will fit in with all the different networks that I put this on. So we can do this again. This was really informative, Komini. Thank you so much, and I know that you like to go by Pure Angel Komini. in the past you haven't, you said you still do that. Could you give us your a web address or where people can get more information about what you're doing, some of your posts?
Right. Yeah, of course. Well, Unified New Earth Sanctuaries, we're actually putting up an online store, and right now it's very exciting time for us because we're going to be able to produce Ascension apparel and Ascension products and Ascension medicine, you know, things at the highest vibration. You can find us on Facebook right now. We're setting up the website. The website address is angelstarascend.com, as well as my profile online is Angel Star Messenger, as well as Komani P. Leaser. However, you can find information to contact us if you'd like. We always look for individuals who are willing to volunteer or donate their experience, education, time, or energy to the cause. We're growing very, very fast, and sometimes I have to stop myself from, you know, doing too much. But the reality of it is that everybody on this planet right now is benefiting from these movements that we're all making. And I really appreciate you, David, for, you know, broadcasting this information out and for, you know, doing, being part of that unification. So I really am so deeply grateful to you. Grateful for your work and your energy and for your presence here. And I look forward to talking to Lana really, really soon too.
Yes, we'd love to do this again, the two of us with you. And this was a really exciting show. And I'm glad that we were able to finally do this and that I was finally able to connect with you after so many months. And, you know, we've been sort of chatting off and on for many months now, and it's just amazing to finally connect with you and have this conversation. And I hope to have many more with you in the future. Okay, I'm going to sign off, and I thank everyone for listening in to this, to our show with Komani and Unified Lure Sanctuaries, and we will see you next time on Universal Soul Love. Thank you, Komani.